This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's been a minute since we talked to the mighty Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline, or really any hotline for that matter. But here, of course, it is always the Wester Hotline. Glad to have you with us here on a Monday. And Paul Hamilton joins me now live on said Wester Hotline. Paul, what's shaking, man? How are you?
Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley, and Dean Memminger.
Paul, are you on another line talking to someone? Like, what?
Well, I just heard in the sports that the last time the New York Knicks won the championship was 1973.
Okay. Good job. Yeah, good. I was eight. All right. Yeah. Good deal. All right.
Guys like Walt Frazier and Willis Reed.
Yeah. Been a minute.
Dave DeBuscher.
Yeah. No, I remember all of them. I mean, I can't give you a chapter and verse on them all, but I
against Jerry West.
Yeah. Well, Paul, thanks. Do you hate Mitch Marner?
I don't like the idea. He might be a very nice person. He's a very good offensive hockey player, but he's not what the Buffalo Sabres need. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres were 10th in the league in scoring at 3.23 goals per game. If you got up to 3.26 goals per game, they're seventh in the league in scoring. I mean,
Mitch Marner can do that for him, Paul.
What the problem with the Buffalo Sabres is they're 29th in the league in defense, and they have goaltenders that can't make a big save at a big time for them, and they need players that can jump into your top six. I have a better idea than Mitch Marner. How about Sam Bennett or Marchand, who have won cups, who can play in your top six, who can play offensively and defensively, can upset the other team? They will get the other team upset instead of the Sabres having to react. Other teams will have to react to the Sabres. That's the types of players that they need, and they're winners. You know, they're winners. They can play both ends of the ice. They're tough to play against. They score goals in big games. You know, they're leaders. I mean, and people, well, they're not coming to Buffalo. Well, is Mitch Marner coming to Buffalo?
Yeah, this entire conversation requires a certain level of suspension of disbelief that like maybe the gyrations aren't even worth the time. But, you know, whatever. Here's the thing about I don't disagree with you about Bennett or Marchand even at this stage. The thing is, I think everyone agrees. Marner is, you know, Paul, I'm trying to get through a day here. Marner, like, people are, I think, going to overreact to Marner. A part of my thinking is a player that looks flawed in one place, and I recognize Toronto is not Buffalo, okay? So it's not exactly apples and apples, but you've seen guys who acquired reputations for sulking and not being able to pull it together, even though they had a very talented roster and all these different things. They go elsewhere and they fly and they're free. I'm not predicting for sure that will happen with Mitch Marner, but to me, getting out from under Toronto and all the expectations could be extremely good for him. And as far as his, you know, one-sided type player, he was a Selke Trophy finalist 2 years ago. And he plays on the penalty kill. This is not just a one-dimensional player entirely.
I disagree. I think he is a one-dimensional player. I think he makes them worse defensively, not better. They'll probably be 30th or whatever defensively. Especially watching him in the playoffs, some of the things he's done defensively in the playoffs, I'm shaking my head. What are you doing? What I mean, you're just wandering around. You're not even paying attention. You know, I've said that out loud as I'm watching him. It's like, what in the world are you doing? And so, to me, you know, I don't care if he was a Selke Trophy candidate or whatever.
It's not whatever. I mean, it's the best defensive forward in hockey. Now, he didn't win it, but to be nominated, was everybody sniffing glue that year? I mean, I don't understand why.
Nominated by what? The Canadian media? Or, you know, I just
– okay.
I'm not on board with it. I'm
All
just
right.
not.
All right.
And I think they become a worse defensive team on a team that has to be better defensively. All right, so he shows up, and instead of being 10th in the league in scoring, you're 7th in the league in scoring or 6th in the league in scoring. Great. Now what? I still don't have a goalie that can make a save. I still don't have a team that plays well defensively, and I've just sunk $12-13 million into that.
Oh, keep going. 14, 15, whatever, whatever the max is what it would cost anyway.
Paul, can I interest you in a bunch of six-five wins?
That's what I'm after, right?
Yeah. I would rather go with the established winning players that can also score goals, maybe can't get 100 points, but allows me to put Zach Benson in Rochester and put a very decent hockey player into my top six that is going to be good offensively and good defensively and can score the big goal at the big time and have been winners and are abrasive to play against. And I would just rather have that player. I think that's the player the Sabres need a lot more than just, and I'm just going to say it, a one-dimensional offensive type guy.
Well, I love that you have chosen to not respect the Selke Trophy finalist thing because it certainly helps your argument and hurts mine. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I the fact that he plays on the penalty kill and was nominated for that, to me, flies in the face of the reputation.
They don't have anybody else to play in the penalty kill. They got all offensive forwards.
Are you kidding me? Pontius Holmberg can't kill penalties? Jan Kruk or whoever these people are? What are you talking about?
They did change it around this year. They did change around this year. They were better defensively this year as a team. That game against Buffalo here in Buffalo, did the Sabres even have a scoring chance all night? I mean, they just shut it down and got great goaltending. So, yeah, they were better defensively this year, definitely. But at the end of the day, when they needed to be good defensively – in a game seven, they certainly weren't.
Holy cow. Paul, we can table the, you know, the Marner thing is going to be there. That is going to be evergreen until July 1st when he signs, you know, with Tampa or whatever's going to happen, wherever he ends up going. Really, though, one last thing. The point to me is the way I phrased it to begin with, like if, because I don't think any of these people are going to be interested in signing with the Buffalo Sabres, like the top, any of the names you mentioned here, Bennett and Marchand, who, again, I'll say it again just in case anyone didn't catch it. I'm sure you did. I agree with you. That style of player is certainly in line with what I need. I'm just saying, if Marner actually wanted to talk to me, I'm not hanging up the phone. Like, I'm not going to feel too proud to take that call and consider signing him, despite him not being the best fit, because I need to do something to change the narrative around this team. And he's, you know, someone that I think could certainly do that. Anyway, Paul, games 5 and 7 in Toronto. Have you, Mike said it great after game 5 on Wednesday, Thursday, and here he said, it's got to be the worst sporting event you've ever attended if you were there. And, I mean, and I would agree. And then maybe last night only trumps it because you got the game 6 to give you hope again. And then here comes game 7. And it's really, I've never seen a team after the handshakes when a series is over gather at center ice to salute the fans and get booed. I mean, that was brutal. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. I mean, those two games, Paul, I just can't even explain it.
And the thing about it is, it's not just this year. I mean, it keeps happening over and over and over and over again. And it's so that's, I think, what makes it even worse, that you've got guys that perform very well in the regular. I mean, Austin Matthews is one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League in the regular season. And then he gets to the playoffs, and where is he? We need a goal. It's game 5. It's game 7. Where is he? Where are all these guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are very, very good in the regular season. And as we said, they were a better defensive team this year. Thinking, okay, we've made ourselves better defensively. We have a goaltender that's playing very, very well for us. Unfortunately, that goaltender got hurt, but we'll wound up with a shutout along the way. And I don't think he's as good as Stolarz was, but I'm not sure Stolarz would have changed this around. We don't know. We'll never know. But that's the thing. I think that's what makes it worse. Is it just keeps happening over and over and over again. And if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs trying to figure out what are you going to do, what makes you think sticking with it is going to make a change all of a sudden?
So what do you think moving forward here? Not for the Leafs entirely. I mean, I think their decisions will be largely made for them by guys hitting the market, though I guess maybe Tavares might want to stay, and they'll have a choice to make there if they want to keep going down that road. Really will depend on whether they can attract one of the players you've mentioned here, because Sam Bennett seems like a perfect ready-made replacement for Tavares on the free agent market. Should he get to the market, we'll see how that all shakes out. But we've got Florida and Carolina in the East, Dallas and Edmonton in the West. Three of the four from last year. Only the Rangers were in the Carolina spot last year. What do you think of the field left?
It's interesting that in the NHL, the overall placement of these teams, you got Team 5 in Dallas, Team 9 in Edmonton, Team 10 in Carolina, and Team 11 in Florida. And even in the NBA, you do have Team 1 in Oklahoma City. But then you got to go down to Team 5 with the Knicks, Team 6 with Indiana, and Team 10 with Minnesota. So in both leagues, the higher seeds for the most part are than in Oklahoma City, yep, and in Dallas if you want it. It just goes to show you, you know, and Tampa did the same thing. Tampa didn't care if they won the division. They didn't care if they won the President's Trophy or any of that kind of stuff. It's like, let's get ready for the playoffs. That's what the regular season. For those teams, it's an 82-game preseason. It's like, let's make sure we get in the playoffs, but we don't care where we get in. Let's just play, you know? And Florida's 11th. Are they the 11th best team in the National Hockey League? No. But that's the way mm-hmm. they hung out, and that's what Tampa did for those years, too. They just hung out, made the playoffs. They didn't care. It doesn't really matter if you're home ice or not. I mean, the road team wins quite a bit in the playoffs, and I think that's what we're seeing now is teams, you know, good teams are just like, yeah, that's nice to win the President's Trophy. Congratulations. We don't care. We want to hang the big banner up there, and we're going to get ready to play for that big banner, and I think that's what we're seeing now. As far as Carolina, I feel like Jacques Lemaire has re-entered the league. I probably would rather do chores in the backyard than watch Carolina play.
I hated every minute of that Washington-Carolina series that I watched. I even would say, like, Owen would be in the kitchen, you know, grabbing something to drink or whatever. I'd be like, I hate watching these teams play. This is terrible.
And I understand, and people are right. Well, they win.
Yeah.
They haven't won a cup yet, but they're in the top four.
Yeah.
So it's working for them to play this way. It worked for the New Jersey Devils as Jacques Lemaire systematically ruined the National Hockey League by winning a couple of Stanley Cups that way and then making other teams think, well, we got to play that way. No, we don't have to play that way. Why don't we just play some hockey that we actually can enjoy instead of playing that way? And Carolina plays that way, and if they happen to win the Stanley Cup, then all of a sudden, here we go. We're going right back to Jacques Lemaire and the Devils. Fire Lindy Ruff and get Jacques Lemaire in here and hire Lou Lamoriello, and here we go. And, you know, it's just I just do not enjoy watching Carolina play at all.
Paul, that's coming across. Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline here for a few more minutes. How do you feel about the Amerks at this point, Paul? 1-1, and what are we, Wednesday, Friday again?
Yeah, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, if necessary.
All in Laval. Yeah.
I know fans are going to say stop making excuses for them, but watching game one, I got just what I expected. The Amerks hadn't played in 13 days. You know, Levi's leaving rebounds out in the slot, and they're not good defensively. It's a 5-4 game. It's just not Amerks hockey. I mean, they just had to get themselves back into playoff form and back going again. And by game two, it was back. They played very well, even in the first period. They limited opportunities for Laval, played very, very well. I mean, Laval had 7 shots in the first period. I think 3 of them came in the last 30 seconds. I think they had 4 before that. By the end of the day, Levi only had to look at 19 shots. Even though he gave up 3, there were tips and things like that. I don't think really you would have blamed him on any of the goals. He played well. I mean, he was back to being what we had seen him throughout the season, and the Amerks were back playing the way they're very capable. And let's face it, I mean, Laval had the best record in the American Hockey League. You're not going to win 3 straight games there. They had to win that game at home, game 2, and they did a great job. You watch the 4 goals that they scored, all guys going to the net, multiple guys at the net, guys like Isak Rosén. I mean, he's on the wall. He wins 3 battles going to the net and then just keeps the puck alive in the crease. He just sticks his stick in there and keeps it alive so Rusick can tap it into the net. And there's Rusick at the net too. And it's just like that's what you want to see. You know, what is Rosén about, 175 pounds soaking wet? But, he's up against a 200-pound guy winning battles all the way to the net, and that's the way they scored their goals, and that's the way they play. Mike Leone has that team playing very, very well. And it'll be now. It just becomes a best 2 out of 3. Unfortunately for the Amerks, all 3. Well, maybe not. Unfortunately, because the Amerks are one of the better road teams in the American Hockey League, so they're comfortable playing on the road. So maybe it's not that big of a deal for them to have to go there and win 2 out of 3 games.
How much like Laval, the season series? We had Kevin Aklubja on Friday, Paul, and he mentioned how the season series had been very heavily in favor of Laval. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, and I think I brought this up with you last week when we started to have an idea about what the field looked like and who they might be matching up with here, whether physically they would be able to handle it. And is there somewhat of a mismatch there between these two teams, or is it not that pronounced?
No, they're a bigger team, and they're not as goony and rough and tough as Syracuse is. That was a good start for Rochester to play them, because it's just a goon squad. I mean, it looks you think like you're watching some version of Slapshot watching them, and the Amerks stood up. The Amerks basically said, "Go ahead, you guys hit us in the back of the head and take us head first into the wall. We'll score on the power play, and we'll beat you in 3 games, and you guys can then go home." And that's basically what happened. You know, Syracuse didn't stop playing like that. Rochester couldn't have cared less. And they played their game, and they won in 3 games. And that's what I saw in game 2 there and game 1. They didn't back down in game 1. But game 2 also, it's not – Laval isn't – they're big, and they'll slap you around a little bit, but they're not like Syracuse. And, the Amerks are fine with it. They stood up to it, as I said. You know, they're right in there with the scrums. They're not backing down to anything. They're at the net, which got them four goals and then an empty netter because they're at the net. They don't care if you get cross-checked or whatever. It's like, fine, you do what you have to do, we'll do what we have to do, and we'll let our skill take over.
Did you enjoy the Subway Series, Paul?
Yes, I actually was taping the game yesterday so I could watch it after the hockey game, so I didn't know that Bellinger had hit a grand slam to like 1:30 in the morning when I was sitting there watching it. So it was, yeah, that was fun to see. That would be a great World Series.
What impressive. You avoided the result of your favorite baseball team's game until, what, 11:30 at night? That's incredible.
Well, I just stay off Twitter. I don't need to be on Twitter as I'm watching a hockey game. So.
But what about all my witty observations, Paul?
Well, I catch up eventually, but I got to be done with the baseball game before I can start catching up. You know, I do that. I do that sometimes with Bills games. You know, I've actually been on the road when a Bills game has started, and basically have been able to avoid the result till I get home that night and can watch the game and have no idea what happened in the game. It's not easy to do, especially with our guys around you that are interested in the game.
Right.
But I have pulled that off before to be able to do that. And sometimes I hate commercials. So sometimes on a Sunday, like a road game starts at 1 o'clock, I'll go shopping, go get groceries or whatever. And then, you know, I'm DVR in the game. And when I get home, about, I don't know, 2:15, 2:30, I kick off. And then I can fast forward through commercials and everything. And basically, by the time I'm done, I finish the game around the same time everybody else does. But, you know,
listen to this guy.
I'm not, Twitter is not my favorite thing in the world. So staying off Twitter is not a hard thing for me to do. So especially on a football game like that, stay off Twitter. And just
I am like you on Bills game days for sure. Like the game starts and I try not to be there because, you know, everything is the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, as soon as there's a three and out or whatever. And I just, that overreaction, I don't need that in my brain space, generally speaking. So I try to avoid that while the game is on,
and,
obviously.
And, you know, with Bills fans, the Bills have never committed a penalty in the history of the franchise. And you know, that's fine. But to me, the refereeing is just horrendous in the NHL. It's in the NFL. And it's horrendous for everybody. I mean, I can sit there and pick out, you know, a lot of penalties that the Bills should have gotten or a lot of penalties that the Sabres should have gotten. And a lot of penalties that didn't go their way, too. It's just, it's horrendous refereeing.
Well,
so I don't need to read about how the Bills got screwed by the referees and all that. No, everybody gets screwed by the referees, not just the Bills. The Bills did.
Equal
and
opportunity
so did everybody
screwers.
Else.
Yeah, right. Well, I wanted to just squeeze in real quick, Paul, that I did not appreciate the Yankee fans being so rude to Juan Soto. So I'm sure you love that, but I didn't feel like that was very polite.
I think he was genuinely surprised
that they treated him that way.
That game, by that ESPN game, he was basically just standing out there like a deer in headlights. You know how he likes to have fun and interact, and he did that in the first game, and it wasn't working. And he started like going out at the last possible second to take his place in the outfield. He'd stay in the dugout. Everybody else is out there warming up, and he's still in the dugout. And just out there, he did not look like he enjoyed it at all out there. And I think he was rather surprised. He got the greeting. I don't know why. I think he was in New York long enough to know how fans react to things out
there. Yeah.
But he, to me, maybe I'm wrong, but just looking at him, he seemed genuinely surprised he was being treated that way.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot for this. I'm sure we'll catch up later in the week with the Amherst playing on Wednesday and on Friday. Be well, buddy.
Thanks. Take care.
That's our Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline and his appearances here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We'll hit up a timeout. 803-0550 is the number. You want to talk a little more about something Paul and I talked about. Mitch Marner isn't a free agent idea. Paul likes other ideas more. You know, I don't think any of it's going to be worth much because I don't think any of them are realistic. thus is life as a Sabres fan and observer. 803-0550 is the number. The guest train will continue in about a half an hour. Brian Koziel will be with me to pour over the second major of the season, won by Scottie Scheffler yesterday at Quail Hollow outside Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll talk about all that with Brian at 6, but time for your calls between now and then, again, at 803-0550. Mike is off today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along here on a Memorial Day Friday. Sal Capaccio standing by on the Wester Hotline for us to keep us rolling along here. Sal, big Memorial Day weekend plans, or are you getting rained out of stuff?
A bit scuttled tonight. We're supposed to have a baseball tournament starting up tonight. That's been shelved, but games tomorrow morning are still on. They're going to work on the fields. That's why they kind of canceled everything tonight and said we're going to work on the fields. Hopefully that gets going tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'll be kind of dialed in. I'm not like a really big, huge Syracuse lacrosse. Sorry about that, guys. But a Syracuse lacrosse watcher. But they're in the Final Four, so that'd be great. I actually watched their game against Princeton in the Final Eight. So I'll watch that when I can. It was great. It was a great game. And they were up 16-11 in the fourth quarter. They blew it and won 19-18. So that's at 2:30. The other Final Four game is Penn State against Cortland.
Cornell.
And then, did I say Cortland? I've done that three times now. Every time I go to say Cortland, I say Cornell. Or Cortland.
They're close.
Who's in it? Cornell. There you go.
Cornell.
I keep doing that. Anyway, and then the Bandits tomorrow night, obviously. Tomorrow evening is right after that. So, yes, there's a lot going on this weekend, I guess.
Tomorrow, the Bandits are 4:30 tomorrow.
Right. 4:30, it's crazy.
Yeah, Cornell is the number one seed. The quarters were all really good. Syracuse had a nice kind of resurgence this year. When we were growing up, they were dominant. Roy Simmons, is that his name? And then the Gate brothers.
And Mike, you'll remember, Gary Gate was one of the greatest players ever. He's now their head coach.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, for years, Memorial Day Monday, that final has been like around lunchtime on Memorial Day, back years before Mike's kid was playing lacrosse or I even knew who you were, Sal. But that would be like a Monday, oh, what's on? Okay, yeah, I'm watching lacrosse.
It's always that day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, and Sal mentioned the Bandits, that's the end of the indoor season tomorrow. And the
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up. but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
LL season starts next week. So there's no...
not a lot of time off there.
No break. Let's go.
Yeah. And we got that game on WGR tomorrow. I had John Gertler on earlier today. It's just cool, you know, to have... They're going for a three-peat. You know, and we were there last year. I won't be able to go to the game. My family was there last year for that championship. It was just cool to watch a Buffalo team win a championship with a packed house at home like that. It was super cool. And maybe tomorrow evening, you know, we have another chance for that here at KeyBank Center.
Yeah, they can tie. Oh, I read this earlier today. There's two other franchises that have won seven titles, and this would be their seventh. Maybe it's Rochester and Toronto, I've got in my head, are the other two. But anyway, yeah, really great. And I didn't realize here, I mean, it's a third straight title chance they've got here. They lost in the final the previous 2 years. So it's five years in a row that they've been in the final, which is, I mean, really quite a run.
Yep.
It really is. I would say, too, you know, just we've gone to games and I mean, it's, I don't think it's an understatement to say the Bandits might have one of the best home field slash court advantages in all of sports with how rocking that place gets. It's pretty unbelievable, actually.
No doubt. Speaking of a great run, I didn't realize this until we talked to Warren Sharp the other day, and he mentioned it, Sal. Maybe you know this. The Bills have the longest streak in the NFL of wins after a bye week. I think of Andy Reid for that, first of all, as I told Warren the other day. Like I was about to blurt out. He sort of asked us the question, who has the longest active win streak after bye weeks? Is it Kansas City? But it's the Bills at 10. The last loss they have after a bye is what I call the 7-1-6 game, because we all went to that opening party the game to 7-1-6. I remember thinking I really wanted the Bills to win, especially that day, because they would all be at the party. Yeah. And, you know, if they lost, it might be awkward or whatever. But that game against Kansas City in 2014, I guess, or 15, is the last loss after a bye week. Any does that surprise you? Did you know it? Is there any particular thing about them where they've sort of like, you know, what it is they do that's especially effective after byes?
So Sean McDermott, it doesn't surprise me. I've known he is very good after a bye. Like, I know the record is good. I'm going back and looking now. His first year in Buffalo was his bye. The bye was right after they lost at Cincy. They come home after the bye. They beat Tampa here on the Tre'Davious White punch out. Remember that one? Late in the game, punches out the ball. That's 2017. They win that game. Mm-hmm. The next year,
we
is
refer
the
to that as
Foster.
The O.J. Howard game, Sal. Just
yes,
so you know.
That's the O.J. Howard game. That's when Mike Evans in the end zone completely ran over our friend Jenna Cottrell in the end zone. She's holding the camera. Oh my God, she got destroyed, and she was a champ. She got up and just kept on ticking. It was amazing. She's got a great shot of it. Jacksonville the next year. That's the Robert Foster game, mm-hmm. actually. 2019 is the Micah Hyde returns the kickoff, onside kick for a touchdown game. And if you remember in that game, they were down and they came back late in that game. 2020, I'm looking. That's LA at home against the Chargers. That was off. I think they gave up a Hail Mary in that game, if you remember that, for the Chargers late in the season. I'm just going through real quick. 2021, Miami again. They destroyed them. Looks like there. 2022 is Green Bay, Sunday Night Football, a little bit of a struggle. That was like bad second half, right?
Right.
And things start to kind of not go well for them. 2023, they go to Kansas City after a bye. That's the Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys stretch right there. They go to Kansas City. They win that game 20-17, really nice game. Then last year, they have San Francisco on Sunday night. What I would say is this. I think the majority of what I just saw going through it over the last few years, their byes have come later. And the Bills have been a good team late. They've been a good team in December and late November. After Thanksgiving, they've been very good.
Yep.
And so it coincides with that. That's number one that strikes me. Number two is I just think that they have the kind of coaching staff that would be good in those situations. You give them a couple extra days to prepare for an opponent, to kind of really get dialed in on what you want to take away. Sean McDermott's strength as a defensive coach, I think you look at it. If you go back and look at those scores, not all of them, but several of them were, you're keeping that team down a little bit, and I think that doesn't surprise me.
If we're willing to or eager to attach player names to some of these games, even if they're not on the winning team, like O.J. Howard. Mm-hmm. 23 has to be the Kadarius Toney game for lining up offside.
Right. Oh, yeah, there you go.
On that lateral.
That the streak might not exist if it weren't for that.
That's right.
Right.
But well, that was, you know, you look at that game, guys. They go to the Jets a couple weeks before that was the first game for Joe Brady, right, as offensive coordinator. It's middle of the season, November, they fire Ken Dorsey. Then it's the Eagles game in overtime where they don't try to score late in the game. Mm-hmm. They lose in overtime. Then you got the bye, and then they run off five straight wins after the bye, which is what I'm talking about. And it's Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins. And like that's when you're like, oh, they're back in their groove. They've just been really good. Go back and look at the Bills late in the season, in the regular season. I mean, it's just really an amazing record when you think about it, especially since they started making the playoffs. Like, they're pretty amazing. They're pretty really unbeatable almost when it comes to record-wise, you know, in these games. There's very few losses.
They also have that thing where, like, last year they lost two in a row. Baltimore and Houston, and in other years, whenever they'd lost two in a row, they just won them all after that. It was just like almost the end. The end of their losing was a back-to-back, you know, losing streak. Well, this year the bye is in week 7. I know we've talked about this before, and you brought up how they've had several byes, you know, later on in the season. This year it's week 7, and then week 8, their game after the bye is at Carolina. Then it's the Chiefs here. For you, you said, if I remember correctly, the other day, Week 7 is not your perfect time of year for a bye.
Right, I don't think it is, but I don't think it's a super bad one either, especially in this situation this year. But I think generally teams want to have it a little bit more towards the end or middle. Now that said, the middle of the season is different for Chopin Bulldog and Sal talking on the radio than it is for an NFL football player. We look at it from September 7th, you know, on, really. That's 6 weeks and then you have a bye. But let's remember, these guys go to training camp at the end of July. When you put that bye week on October 20th, it's actually pretty much in the middle of their entire season when you think of training camp. And I think a lot of players would say, yeah, that falls in a perfect spot. I think from a coaching standpoint, you want to be a little bit healthier rolling into the end of the year. Maybe you want to get your bye a little bit later. I would think that. I bet you players like it to have right around where it is. Maybe a little later is fine. But I think middle of the season, I've always heard players talk about, if you're going to get middle of the season, that's good. Get your body refreshed. Well, middle of the season, you got 3 preseason games before you play. So now it's actually week 10 when you think about it, out of 18. And then you have the training camp weeks, like I said, before that. So it really is, what, week 13 overall of their season. So it is there. But I think in this situation, it does actually kind of help the Bills in a way, which is, those two guys who are suspended, they can start practicing after week 4. They can't play week 5 against the Patriots. They can't play week 6 against the Falcons. And then they have a bye week. They're going to actually get 3 weeks of practice in without even counting on the roster before they play in that game against Carolina.
Yeah, that works out pretty nice. I mean, I also like, and you know, the Bills have had success, like you're saying. I just buzz through it, and I'll compile it all. But December is insane how they've done with these late byes, maybe playing some part in it. But the fact that they've got these suspensions and can get that work done starting, like you said, that timeline and the week off in there to sort of help those guys maybe get integrated is, I think, you know, I might have been torn. If I could pick the bye anywhere I wanted, if someone had laid out to me the way you just did with the timing of those suspensions and they're coming back, I might have landed on that as much as I like it in week 11 or 12.
And Bulldog, when you throw in there, they're playing at Carolina. Let's be honest, just not the you know, biggest, you know, team on the schedule as far as, you know, most imposing. Now, they could go there and lose, of course. Anything can happen. Carolina almost beat Kansas City last year. But if you're going to pick an opponent and you want to get those guys, you know, coming off a bye, get them back integrated a week before a Kansas City game, right? Get a tune up there, get them involved in your defense. I think it just kind of sets up. And then they come home to Kansas City, and Kansas City will be coming off a short week, by the way. So Kansas City plays home Monday night football against the Washington Commanders the week before they come to Buffalo on Sunday.
That is true. Warren also said not to spend the entire day on the bye weeks, but I guess we started it. He also said that the advantage isn't as much as it used to be because players have more freedom to leave, you know, for whatever it is, 4 or 5 days in the middle of the 2 weeks, as opposed to before that when they would sort of be around the facility all the time. I thought that was interesting.
I agree with that. I don't know the data on it. I'm sure he has it, but it is true that the CBA has changed. Years ago, you know, I don't know, even know if there were necessarily rules. It might have been up to each individual team how they wanted to treat it. But now you must give the players, I think, 4 days off. I think it's four consecutive days during that week. I could be wrong on that. It might be five, but there's something in there with that. Which, you know, so you're going to come in. So let's just play this out for the Bills. So when the Bills play the Carolina Panthers on that Sunday, that would be October 26th, come back to Buffalo Sunday evening. They'll come in on Monday. They'll get injury check. They'll go through some film, stuff like that. And I'm going to guess probably Tuesday is going to be a little bit more of a come on in, get your weightlifting in and things like that. And then Wednesday, they probably won't have much at all, if anything. Maybe you have a meeting, maybe you stick around, but that's it. And in years past, it wouldn't be the case. You might be in the facility and even required to be by your team, but that can't happen anymore. Now, you don't really have to give them off your team, I think, until like Thursday. But generally now, the way it works out, by Wednesday, pretty much, okay, go and do what you got to do.
Do you guys like where the Chiefs game is on the schedule? I mean, I don't know if you'd have a strong opinion either way. It wasn't, I say this like I know, and Philadelphia is this. I never thought it would be super late, like a Christmas game or anything like mm-hmm. that. Because I think, like I've said, you can waste a mm-hmm. great matchup. And the Bills-Eagles game might end up being wasted in that way, if depending on the team's standings at that point. You know,
yeah,
week 9.
I definitely wouldn't want it as late as the Philly game is. But for me, the Bengal game and the Chief game are relatively interchangeable. My favorite thing, and I've said it a few times, is how spaced out those four home games are. The Baltimore opener, the Chief game, the Bengal game, and then there's still even a three-week buffer before you get Philadelphia, and we'll see how hot and heated that game ends up being. I'm all right with the Chief game where it is. If it was where the Bengal game is instead, if those two games were flipped, I might like it a little better, but they're pretty interchangeable to me. I just like that there's a gap because a few years there, so you just ran it down talking about December a few minutes ago. There were some back-to-back pretty tough-looking games at least ahead of time. Even last year, San Francisco, you know, should have been a tougher game, or you might have thought sitting here in May it would be a tougher game, and it really wasn't as tough a game as we thought. But I like the spacing more than so much where each game is specifically.
Yeah, agreed. Do I like it? Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I think that's about maybe give me that week, maybe a week or two later would be as late as I'd go. I didn't want it past Thanksgiving, that's for sure. Maybe earlier in the season. It always seemed like, you know, a good early season Bills Chiefs matchup is good. But I look at the schedule, and when I just kind of take it in totality, Mike, without saying just specifically where is that game, if I look at the schedule and see where it is, I like it because I think that you got this really tough opener, and then you got games where just you're going to get going. You're going to get going, and then you have your bye week, and okay, then you meet Kansas City, right? So if you would have had Baltimore and then Kansas City within the next few weeks, you're like, okay, like you got some tests here. You better get off to a start and see what happens. I think they have a chance here for a really nice start before we get to that game.
Memorial Day weekend, kind of a culmination of a certain part of the offseason. We have the schedule. We have the draft. The Bills will be on the field a little bit here before we get a break and then training camp. What do you think, Sal, we'll be talking about the most here between now and camp, or even between now and the regular season? The team is so well established as elite. And, you know, what mm-hmm. the betting markets say, everything that sort of points to, again, this year, an excellent season. Is it going to be James Cook? If James Cook walks in the door next week, what are we talking about the most for the next three months?
That's the question. If James Cook is at mandatory minicamp, then, I mean, you kind of squash any real talk of it, right? There's going to be some talk of it, no doubt. If he's not at mandatory minicamp, that's the number one story. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. Like, this is it. What is going to happen with James Cook going into training camp? Is he going to show up? How's that all going to be treated? I think we're going to be talking about Hard Knocks a lot, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. This is new to us. We've never seen something like this. You know, what's it going to be like? Who are the storylines? How are they going to present this? You know, what are the Bills' feelings on it? All that kind of stuff. And, yeah, I think that's going to be it. And then I think there's the Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid stuff from lingering mm-hmm. from the offseason, you know, the end of the year press conference. Those are going to be a couple of focal points. How do they look? Are they looking like they're bigger and stronger and ready to go? And they're both a little different cases, obviously, from what, you know, the coach and GM said about them. But I do think they're two players that people are going to be talking a lot about. Now, look, I think as the season unfolds, it's the defense a little bit more. You have an MVP quarterback. You have a team that scored 30-something points a game, and you have these individual storylines you're watching. But during the season, it's, okay, you revamped the defense. You made these changes on defense. Defense was kind of what held you back. The GM basically said it. Like, that's where we thought we needed help. So I think during the season is going to be a little bit of a different shift with that storyline.
Sale, I've been reluctant to bring it up to you because I wasn't sure when, you know, there was an embargo lifted on talking about it, but I know you were on at least the WBEN morning show today talking about your experience on set with the Hallmark movie. What can you tell us about the experience? And, you know, I don't know if you knew this, we were rivals for a bit there. I applied, and I got a text. Sale got the part. I'm like, well, good for Sale.
Well, maybe not. I did not get that part.
Oh.
So that I didn't beat you out. Another person at Odyssey also said the same thing to me. You applied for the announcer role, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what happened. Somebody I had worked with years ago had said, hey, I think, you know, you should apply for this role. This is what it is. And I looked at him like, oh yeah, that looks really interesting. Okay, let me see. So I put in my reel, just like you probably did and whatever, and applied for the PA announcer role for the movie.
Right.
I got an email. It said, hey, we're going to hire you. I'm like, oh, this is great. Never knew until like a few more emails where I'm trying to match things up and things weren't making sense. I'm reading the script and I'm also reading when I have to go. And I'm like, I'm not in these scenes. Like, what's going on? So I shoot off a text to somebody. And they're like, oh, no, wait. And I'm gonna say this now. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying it. Apparently, they wanted Luke Russert in the movie and he got the announcer role.
Okay. All right.
So they moved me to a different role. They said, no, we liked you and wanted you in something else, so you're playing a different role. So I actually play a character that works in the front office for the team.
All right. Well, good for you.
And I had to go on set and shoot my scenes two days ago. And it was an awesome experience. And we shot the scenes in the offices like right above the tunnel there where those offices are, where the names are for the Wall of Fame.
Yep.
That's where this was. And in my two scenes, number one was I am basically at a conference table and the lead character, Matt D'Addario, who plays a guy named Gabe, he's like the head of the stadium development. His character is basically based on like John Polka, I think, is what it is. Like that's his role. And he's in a meeting with us and he's thanking us what a great job we did on the stadium and all of our partners and all that. And, you know, we're getting direction and the camera's in there and they're like, yeah, make sure when he says this, you guys are like, yeah, great. You know, oh, it sounds great. Everything like that. Then there's another scene where I literally like am with him, me and him having dialogue, walking down through this office. And Mike, you'll certainly appreciate this. I know it literally says in the script, you guys are walking in a West Wing style walk.
Walk and talk. It's a walk and talk.
Walk. I love it.
It is. And all right. That meant because people were coming up to him to talk to him as we're walking. So I got to kind of, oh, I stop and I wait. And then I stop and interrupt and, you know, wait again. And we get interrupted. And then I have two speaking lines with him, basically. And I tell him like how, oh, the feedback's been great. And then we start walking. And then a woman comes in and she says, hey, Gabe, I'm going to need this. And I look at him and say, no, I'll write that up for you. He's like, no, you go home. Your daughter has a Christmas pageant. That's what happens. I just gave away my scene. And then we walk off. And those were my two scenes. I had to go. They had a trailer and it had my character's name is Mike. And they literally had a door with the name Mike on it. And I went in, this was my little like dressing room. And then they brought me over to makeup. I got my makeup done. There's a hair person. We did a lot of hair jokes because sure. And then they put us in a van and we went into where we go to film.
Well, I appreciate knowing what you've told us about the script. I'm pretty sure as long as you don't tell us who commits the murder, you're fine.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That's right.
I think you're fine as long as you don't say who's guilty of the murder in this movie. Yeah. That has to remain.
Oh, man, I'm surprised. I wish they would have gave you that announcer role. I'm totally fine with the one they gave me. You know what I mean?
I didn't know what I was really applying for. When I got the script, I thought, oh, this is the public address announcer. Like, that's not a job that I do. Like, that would be weird for me to be the person doing that, I thought. So you know what I did? I've never done anything like this before. And frankly, Sal, between all of us here, I was with friends out at the Sportsman's Tavern on a Sunday afternoon when I got the email or a text from Brayton Wilson saying, this guy wants you to apply. And my friends all said, you got to do it. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm doing it. And I responded right there and then, yeah, sure, I'm interested. Send me whatever you need. I ad-libbed like a talk show bit just thinking, like, I have no idea how far down the road of written all this is, but if you need a character to turn a car on and have some idiot on the radio talking about the Bills,
yeah,
here you go. I just volunteered it, and, you know, I didn't get the part. I didn't really expect to, so I'm glad that you are in it and even in a bigger role than just, you know, saying, you know, first down at the 34-yard line or whatever the thing was.
Yeah, the PA announcer's role is basically to welcome people on the field during a halftime
song. Oh, that's right.
That was, yeah, that would have been
now.
The PA announcer's role.
That's what
role,
I
right?
read. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But you're right. But those roles that you were talking about, like, there's plenty of those that exist, I think, and they could have given to you or anybody else, and that would have been really cool, and they should have definitely thought about that. The day I was there, I know Deion Dawkins was supposed to film a scene, and that was the day they announced the award, so Deion couldn't be there at the time. But I know he had been there the day before to film, along with Dwayne Carter and Damar Hamlin. And when I left later that day, Sean McDermott filmed a scene, and apparently, like, he was all about it and really got into it and loved it.
Good.
Once I thought about the PA thing, of the prospect of having to scream third down, I just decided it wasn't for me. I just couldn't. If I'm going to get it and they're going to make me scream third down, I'm going to walk off. So
I quit.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm just not here for that.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Sal.
Sal, good luck with the baseball tomorrow. Thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
What are we talking about the most over the next few months here with the Bills? It won't. It's not going to be as active as it's been here for free agency to the draft to the schedule. Now it's kind of like a turning point. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, WGR.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey. Put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey. Put a little bit more in there, Cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
George Wendt has died. Reports. I suppose his role in Fletch would not be the first mentioned in his obituary. It'd be Norm. Cheers.
I think that's, yeah.
Fat Sam. Yeah. Fletch has lost two legends in a week. Joe Don Baker and George Wendt.
Oh, I didn't know the Whammer had ties to Fletch.
Oh, he's the mean cop. He kind of always was a mean somebody. Joe Don Baker in all his movies.
Yeah.
He had an edge to him. Also a man who has an edge to him, Warren Sharp, joining us now on the Wester Hotline, sharpfootballanalysis.com. One of the best in the business. Warren, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So let's start with the schedule. I know you put a lot of time in trying to find disparities in team schedule and, you know, give a deeper insight into who really has weaker versus stronger schedules. How did the Bills come out here for you? I think I've seen a lot. They're on the weaker side of things. Maybe you can add to that with what you've researched.
Yeah, so if we were talking about just who they play, the Bills have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL because they're playing some weaker divisions. I love the tentpole nature of the way that their games are spread out, the way that the schedule makers gave them three home games against the three toughest teams. Now, they didn't give them the home games. Those are already there, but they have the Ravens to start the season, the Eagles to end the season, the Chiefs smack dab right there in the middle of the season, as long as they don't blow a look-ahead spot off of a bye in Carolina against the Panthers week 8. Sets them up nicely against the Kansas City Chiefs in week 9. From a rest perspective, though, the Buffalo Bills do have some challenges from week 10 through 18. So immediately following the Bills, they play 4 games at a rest disadvantage and just 1 game at a rest advantage. And last year they went 11-2 when they had at or even rest compared to their opponent, but they were just 3-3 when they had less rest than their opponent. The Bills will play 4 of those games down the stretch of this season. It's the third worst rest differential to close out the season of any team in the NFL. I don't love the rest spots for them. The good news is the game after the bye week is the Carolina Panthers. I just told you about that one. That's a key one. You can't look ahead to the Chiefs. That's going to be a big thing. And many teams have struggled coming off of buys since that 2011 CBA. It used to be a great thing to have a bye because you could keep the players in town sometimes. You didn't have to give them the mandatory time off, but now they do. And the data certainly shows that teams are playing worse off of a bye. You know who the best team in the NFL is off of a bye?
It's been
the Buffalo Bills are 10-0 off of a bye. You guys are 10-0 off of a bye the last 10 years. You are the best team off of a bye in the NFL. Most teams have fallen back. You guys are surging ahead, whether you're talking against the spread where you're covering 75% or just outright winning these games. You're doing a tremendous job there as well.
Andy Reid is, I almost spat that out before your answer. Good thing nobody heard me because he has kind of the reputation here.
Definitely don't bring it up now.
Yeah.
No. So, Warren, if I may follow up, I'd like to hear you talk about, like, what is the extent of the advantage? Like, what does the data show I'm gaining or losing in these spots where I'm playing somebody, you know, that's had more rest? And I think, I know what you would say. I've read it from you. I agree with you. That the league should do a better job than it does at this. I mean, we know what their overall purpose is with the schedule, you know, eyeballs. But we both think they should do a better job at this. But there's only so far it can go. I think you'd agree. One of those Bills losses last year is the AFC Championship game, where Kansas City plays on early Saturday and they don't travel, and the Bills play Sunday night and do. So I think we'd all have to acknowledge that there are limits to what can be, you know, made better.
Yes, absolutely. Look, the NFL, by nature, is the least equitable sport that exists for a regular season schedule based upon who you play, because they're never going to balance it with the way that they have divisions and the way that they have other divisions that they rotate, and that's predetermined years in advance. The teams with the easiest schedule and the hardest schedule are much wider apart in the NFL than they are in baseball, where there's, 162 games, or basketball, where there's 82 games. There's so much more opportunity for those teams to have a more even schedule. So we know football, just based upon who you're going to play before the schedule makers even get involved, is going to be less equitable. The goal, in my opinion at least, should be to try to ensure that that equity doesn't cross this imaginary line as they're trying to increase the revenue. But who's policing that? It's the league internally saying, we're aware of that. It's not our primary focus. We're just trying to make sure that nobody's too out of bounds here with these equalities. Well, then you look at a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, who are playing in Baltimore on a Thursday night game for three straight years. Baltimore has played once on Thursday night in Cincinnati in the last 20 years. And why are they, Cincinnati, being forced to play in Baltimore three straight years? Why is the only, I know this doesn't involve Buffalo, but why is Dallas the only team this year that's playing three games in a 10-day span? You know, the NFL didn't have any teams playing three games in 10 days for years. Then they introduced it last year with the game on Christmas on a Wednesday, and all of a sudden now they still have it in the schedule this year. Nobody should have to play that. Why should one team have to play that? So, you know, if you're looking up and down the schedule, there are things that are inequitable that could be improved upon. Now, to your first question, what is the extent of the damage? What's the collateral damage here? Which are the worst spots that we should be focusing in on? Well, teams off of a short week road game. The reason I look at point spreads a lot of the time here is because point spreads should be the equalizer, right? Win-loss record is going to vary, but the point spread is supposed to try to generally get teams to hit right around 50% if the odds makers and the bettors are accurate with a very efficient market here. Teams on a short week road game, that means they're playing on a Sunday, now they have to go on the road on a Thursday, for instance. That's one time. Mm-hmm. Those teams have covered the spread at just a 48.3% clip. You might say that that's over the last decade. You might say that's close to a coin flip. That's okay. That's minus 7.8% ROI. If you're thinking about, like, your investment portfolios, 7.8% losing that is a pretty bad thing to be losing. And that's what happens when you're betting on teams that are playing a short week road game. Teams that play the following week after playing on the road on a Sunday or Monday night game, those teams are only covering the spread less than 49% of the time. Teams in the three games in 10 days, those teams are playing terribly. And why should you have, so those are spots that you should look out for, but the NFL doesn't really care too much about balancing those spots. So as a sports bettor, you could look to take advantage of those from a betting perspective. But from an equity standpoint, you should try to balance that out a little bit more. Why does, for example, I'll give you the most extreme example. Mm-hmm. Why do the Detroit Lions play 8 games where they have a rest advantage, only one where they have a rest disadvantage, versus the Las Vegas Raiders play 6 games at a rest disadvantage, only one game with a rest advantage? No team in NFL history has played 8 games with a rest advantage, but that's what the Lions get to play this year. No team in NFL history has played 5 teams coming off of a Monday night game on short weeks, but that's what the Detroit Lions get to play this year, as they face 5 such opponents. And as you guys know, it's very different if you're coming off Detroit. If you're Detroit playing a 1 p.m. game, you have all afternoon on Sunday to rest up all night, study the film, rest up, rehab all day Monday, and then watch the team that you're about to play play Monday night, get home to their houses on Tuesday morning, and be behind in catch-up. And they get to do that, play 5 games like that this year. So the NFL needs to do a little bit better job of trying to balance some of these things out, in my opinion.
Warren, one of the portions of the Bills schedule that concerns me the most, I like the schedule a lot. No Europe, no holiday stuff. So, you know, they got their allotment of primetime games, but they are playing. You got to it, like, talking about week 10, but even pulling back from there by a few weeks, beginning with week 6 in Atlanta, they play 7 of 10 on the road, 4 out of 5 in one pocket in the middle of that, and there's in the middle of within that then is a Thursday on the road in Houston off of, at least they're at home the week before, but how much does travel enter into the rest point you're making?
So travel, I do believe that teams have improved with the way that they travel, with their sports medicine and the way that they rehab, such that it makes travel not as big of a deficit, and something we looked out for a little bit more earlier on, not as much so now. Some teams prefer to have back-to-back games at times on the road, especially if they're like a West Coast team going east and they'll just stay over, and they feel like that knocks out some of those games, it reduces their overall travel, and then they get to play more home games stacked up at other points in the season. So it sort of really depends. You know, you're right, the Bills do have an interesting quirk where they're playing on the road in Atlanta, then a bye week, then on the road in Carolina. So they bookend their bye with a couple of road games. They do have back-to-back road games there where they're on Thursday Night Football in Houston, which is definitely a disadvantage. Playing that short week road game is a tricky spot for them after hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, the other thing that they don't get the advantage of is playing or hosting any cold weather teams late in the season. You know, the teams that they're hosting late in the season are the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Jets, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Those are the only home games that they play week 12 onward. Those three teams are obviously acclimated to playing in cold weather, so they're not gaining anything from that either.
Warren Sharp is our guest on WGR, Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. So the Bills have about, I mean, depending on what you like, division odds, win the conference championship, win the Super Bowl. The Bills, again, are at the top of the list. I think their odds of winning their division are the shortest of anybody. And, you know, of course, that's a reflection of what people think the rest of the AFC East will look like. What is your read on that? I think it's easy here to get comfortable. Miami has just not been able to take them down. New England and the Jets are closer to rebuilding teams. Is that how you see it, or is there maybe a trap here?
I don't think there's a trap from a division perspective. I think the Bills are as positioned, as you mentioned, the odds reflect this, as any team in the NFL at capturing their division crown. The key for the Bills, in my opinion, we know how important trying to host games in Buffalo is. It's not the end-all be-all when it comes to, you know, going to the Super Bowl, but you definitely want to try to get that first round bye, especially when you have an early bye in week 7. And so, like, I'm not betting Bills minus 230 to win the AFC East, but I absolutely believe that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East. I think Justin Fields is not going to really elevate the New York Jets that much in 2025. I love what the Patriots did in the draft, and I think that they're on their way, but I don't know that year one with Mike Vrabel, they take that massive step to actually dethrone the Buffalo Bills. And then I think the Miami Dolphins are a team that's searching for answers and don't really have very many. So I think they're very much so up in the air. So I think the Buffalo Bills, what their biggest focus needs to be, if I'm being completely transparent and if I was there helping strategize a game plan every week, it is we need to figure out a way to get up on these teams that are worse than us. Most of the games that they're going to be playing are teams that are worse than them. Get up on these teams quickly in games, have leads early, build on those leads so that we can potentially rest some of our guys in that fourth quarter and not play in a lot of these one-score games, because we have an early week 7 bye, and we need to make sure that we have a bye the first week of the playoffs and can have home field advantage. So their goals, obviously their big picture goal, is to get that number one seed in the AFC. But in order to do that, it's think smaller, build leads in games, rest your guys because we have an early bye. In case something goes sideways and we don't get that bye first week of the playoffs, we have the opportunity to still have a healthy roster, because we know that you guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, have had your fair share of too many injuries, and you guys need to stay as healthy as possible. And the only way to ensure it, you can't ensure it, but the way to reduce it is to reduce the total number of snaps that your guys, that your starters have to play.
But that really came home to roost year before last when the Bills had to go right down to the wire the Sunday night game. They needed to win. They started that day not knowing if they were even going to be in the playoffs. It turned out win, and they won the division. But they had to go hard there and then play a wild card game. And the injuries they suffered in that Week 18 win in Miami, coupled with the injuries they suffered in the Pittsburgh wild card win, all but just crushed them. For, I mean, they pulled AJ Klein out of an RV driving his family to a vacation to come play linebacker, and he's chasing Travis Kelce around the field in a divisional round game. I mean, it was tough. The rest is so key.
NFL, I'll just say this. NFL teams, they're so focused on their goal each week is to be up when the clock hits zero after 60 minutes are done. They need to focus more on trying to be up by 10 points at the start of the fourth quarter. Yeah. They need to set goals to allow themselves to manage their team down the stretch of the fourth quarter to stay as healthy as possible and notch as many victories along the way as possible. Because, as you guys know, you get a tipped pass interception, things can go sideways late in these.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Games, if you allow them to stay close, your schedule, you are very fortunate this year. You play the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. You play the number one easiest schedule of games at home in Buffalo of any team that plays at home. You play, you're favored in every single game because you have the good fortune of hosting all of the most difficult games that you play. Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati. Those are the toughest opponents you play. You play all of them at home. You're very fortunate the way that this schedule has fallen. It doesn't fall this way every single year. You've got to take advantage of it every single week by not letting any of these games look ahead or late game variance slip through the cracks, and you got to notch those wins.
Warren, I believe I've seen you tweet how you think the proposal to change the playoff seeding, or whatever it's actually technically should be called, will pass. I've seen today odds against it. I wonder if maybe you still have that position on it. And how do you feel about it? I get the logic behind, you know, dropping down a four seed, a weak division winner by record, but I also don't need it. I kind of like how it is now. And those games are interesting to try to analyze, where you have 11-6 at 9-8 or something like that. What do you see happening, and what should happen?
Yeah, I have changed my position a little bit based on some of the things that I've been hearing out of the teams that are in those AFC South divisions where they generally are going to sit at the fourth seed. But what I was sort of basing my opinion on is the way that the NFL has been doing their schedule. It's crystal clear that their number one priority is bringing in more revenue. They want to sell those standalone games on pay-per-view scale. They want to be able to sell media packages in the future. And they're trying to break every record possible, and they want Week 18 to be must-see TV. They want their conference championship games to pit the two best teams if possible. And the way to most ensure that is to utilize the tactics in this new proposal to make those Week 18 games matter more. There was a slide that was showed at the league meeting, which went through the Houston Texans and the Los Angeles Rams specifically, mm-hmm. how they were sort of locked into their positions last year, so they rested their starters and they lost those games. But if the way that they want to propose had been used last year, the Houston Texans, instead of being locked into the fourth seed, could have fallen all the way to the seventh seed or been fifth or sixth. And same thing with the Los Angeles Rams, who knew that they were either going to be third or fourth seed, and now they could have been sixth or seventh seed as well. So I think Roger Goodell, the reason I felt strongly is because of Roger Goodell. I now believe that they may not get enough emphasis on it this year to get over the hurdle, but I think that you come back next year and it probably will happen, because generally speaking, Roger will convince these owners that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The league itself is going to benefit by making more money here, and that in turn will trickle down to benefit the owners. And it's not as if that fourth seed, like you just mentioned, like an AFC South team with a terrible record, it's not as if they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. It's also not as if they're going to stop trying to play and win games, because the more games they win, the better the record's going to be. So there's still going to be a ton of these teams that are going to be competing all 17 games of the season. This is just going to further emphasize that you got to keep competing. You may not want to rest your players in Week 18.
Yeah, boy, so much of this conversation, Warren, has been predicated on rest and the value of it, right? The rest advantage or disadvantage, like you highlighted with the Lions and the Raiders, respectively. This is another way to take potential rest away, even for, you know, if a team's got the one seed all sewn up, obviously they can coast. But everyone else, you know, the Bills have, you know, this past year they were able to rest in Week 18. This potentially takes that away, and I don't know, man, something about the league – adding games, so you know, 17 games, we're gonna get to 18. Let's take rest away, potentially. I mean, everyone wins here, I think, except the players.
I agree, and I think that the players' union, in fact, would be the ones that would be the strongest opponents of something like this, because their players will be forced to play in some of these games where they otherwise might have, quote-unquote, earned a little bit of opportunity to rest.
Yeah.
So the league itself, from a revenue perspective, that's what's making this money. And from a fan watching the games, I do find it more interesting Week 18 if more teams are playing for something as opposed to just sitting there watching a bunch of backups out on the field. So I understand that perspective as well, the league and the fans' perspective. From the players, though, absolutely, you want that opportunity to walk into the fact that you don't have to play one of your games.
Warren, thank you. Before you go, do you want to plug the book coming out, the website, anything having to do with Lord Reeves, Rich Rebar?
Yeah, he is outstanding. I'll tell you this. I'll do something. If you go to sharp.football and enter the code WGR for the book, instead of $35, it'll drop it to $1. I'll do a special discount here. So anybody who's interested, it's 500-plus pages previewing the upcoming season. You can get it for just $1. It'll come out in early July. That's when it publishes. You could pre-order it now if you use the code WGR.
Wow, Warren, great job. Thank you for that.
What a gift. Thank you. That's really, really generous of you.
On my way. Thanks for your time, as always, Warren.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Warren Sharp. Sharp.football/WGR, he said. Let's see, it's $35. This now this way it's $1. That's a savings of carry the two. $34. That's a great that's like 90% off almost or more.
What can you even get for
almost
or more? What can you even get for a buck anymore? A buck.
Not a lot.
Is a toll even a buck? I don't even know.
I think the Grand Island Bridge is $1. Yeah. Unless you live on the island, then it's like 8 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe a few more cents than that. It's better. It's a better deal if you live on the island.
Good. Well, that should be the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting insight from Warren on the schedule. Did you know that the Bills have not lost a game after the bye in 11 years? Longest active streak in that category. 803-0550 for your calls. We're talking about the tush-push thing again today a little bit already, and also this schedule stuff that's on the table for the owners here today and tomorrow. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. This is Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.